Hi, everybody. Welcome to Private Midwives Podcast with me, Sharon Gamer. I am a matron here at Private Midwives. I'm also a caseload midwife and carry a caseload of my own along with all the other stuff that I do. Today, we are going to be talking about positive birth stories. I don't know about you, but whenever you're in a group of women who've all had babies, the only ones that ever want to talk out are those women who have had really dramatic stories. And so for new parents or women who are pregnant, you know, newly pregnant and things like that, sometimes the only stories that they can get out there are the negative ones or the dramatic ones. So I think for us, it's really important to be able to talk about the positive birth stories. Now, we have three different aspects today, which is fabulous. You know, we have a wonderful stories of first births not being so great and then having a wonderful second experience. We have another view of two very successful and positive induction stories, and also two normal, straightforward, spontaneous births in hospital. So let me introduce who we've got with us today. So thank you especially to Maria and Kaylee, because they've been with me before. So it's lovely to have you guys back. Thank you so much. So we have Maria, who has two boys, Sean and Paddy. And we also have Kaylee, who has Noah and Theo. So like I said, they've been with me before, but we also have a new lady with us today who was actually one of my clients for her second baby. So we have the lovely Lucy Scott, who has Aoife and Alfred, or little Alf. So welcome, ladies.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for inviting us on.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so excited to be able to bring positive birth stories to the public. It's just a fantastic thing to do, I think. There should be much more of it. So what I want to do is, I'm going to start with Lucy, actually, because obviously I was very privileged to walk that second journey with you, Lucy, which was a wonderful journey. But what I want you to do is give a little bit of background as to what brought you to a private midwife in the first place, and talk a little bit about Aoife's birth and your experience with that. And then obviously share your positive birth story with little Alfred.
I had Aoife in July 21, and I had planned to do a home birth through the NHS, but unfortunately it just didn't work out. I went 2 weeks overdue and ended up in the hospital that had low numbers because of COVID. And I think it was the weekend of the pingdemic. There was any start. And then, yeah, so I had an induction and I was in for 4 days, and it was just sad, you know, not what sad, but like I had had a really great experience with a home birth midwife at, you know, that I'd seen throughout my pregnancy, that I'd, you know, had a relationship with. And Then I was in hospital and I didn't know anybody. And it was, you know, when I first actually got in contact with you, I thought I would go into the hospital, didn't I, because I was sort of so disappointed that the home birth didn't work out. I didn't want to set myself up for that to not happen again. But so when I was pregnant with Alf, I obviously got in contact with private midwives because I just wanted to try and take away some of that fear by having somebody with me that I knew and that knew me and knew my history, so that if things happened, I'd sort of, you know, be able to trust in what that person was saying because they knew me and knew my history. Which when I was in the hospital, I just saw so many different people and they all said slightly different things. So, you know, you feel a bit overwhelmed by what advice to take and what the right thing to do is. So yeah, so we called private midwives and got in contact with you when I was quite early on in my pregnancy with Alf. And then do you want me to go through Alf's pregnancy?
I think the thing is, first of all, I'd like you to sort of share with the public and who our listeners and everything, what it wasn't just that you were 2 weeks over, was it, that took you to the hospital? It's important because part of that was what created the anxiety and the stress, the second time round, because it was something that was there with you every time I came to see you, especially towards the end of the pregnancy. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what took you to the hospital, because it wasn't because you were 2 weeks over, was it?
No. Well, yeah, so it was a combination. So I ended up going in for 2 weeks over for a scan, and at the scan they found everything was fine with the baby, but I had high blood pressure, which they said was pregnancy induced hypertension, which I hadn't had throughout my whole pregnancy. It was only on that day I went into the hospital. So that was, you know, I was convinced it was the hospital and the environment and the stress, but it probably wasn't. It was more than that. But because you know, I hadn't, it was lots of different people and I just didn't know what the right thing to do was. But it was that whole, you know, I don't want to be negative about it because it's a positive, you know, talk. But yeah, Aoife's birth was really difficult for me because it was just a very long period of time in hospital where I just felt very frightened and I spent a lot of it alone because of the restrictions at the time. And it, yeah, it stayed with me for a long time after she was born. And throughout Alf's birth, I was, you know, I was very anxious about that happening again with the hypertension and what that would mean for the home birth and if we would have to go into hospital. But you totally took, you know, helped me with that with Alf's birth and guided me through what.
So obviously Aoife's birth happened and everything else. And like you say, you carried a lot of that fear with you going into being pregnant again. And then you decided, obviously, you wanted to try something different this time. So going with the continuity, you know, talk a little bit about that. So your experience, you know, this isn't I want to give the three different viewpoints that we're going to get today. But I mean, I think it's important for people, you know, who are in a position to be able to know, you know, to be able to have a private midwife, to know what it's like and what it actually, what benefits you do get from it. Yeah. So look, maybe talk about that journey after meeting me and deciding that you were going to employ a private midwife.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just for straight away, you were so, it was so nice to have someone, you even took, you know, first thing wanted to know my history and know everything that had happened with Aoife. So that immediately like made me feel like you were understanding of what I was, you know, worried about. And you explained one thing with Aoife's birth was I never really understood why certain things happened. And that probably stayed with me for a long time because you just question yourself and you blame yourself and you think you could have done things differently. But having you to speak to, you know, you talked through why some certain things happened in Aoife's birth, which immediately was so helpful. And yeah, it was then we just built our relationship over the period of, you know, I think I met you, it was after my 12-week scan, wasn't it? So very early on. And it was just so reassuring to have somebody with me from the very beginning. And you understood, you got like, you just knew me straight away and what I was getting, you know, worked up about. And yeah, like I said, I had thought I would try to go into the hospital with, you know, just as long as I could have you with me. That was sort of my biggest worry. And I wouldn't try for the home birth. But after, you know, a few more appointments with you and talking about we could navigate things if they did go wrong or didn't go to plan, we then decided that we would try and to have Alf at home with you, which was that immediately put me, you know, made me excited again for his birth and what that could be, which ended up being lovely. I mean, with Alf's birth, like it didn't 100% go to plan.
No.
And I think if you actually put my births on paper, maybe Alf's was more frightening in some ways with the emergency at the end, but I've never felt frightened in that situation. Like you were there with me and you never got, you know, you were so calm that I never felt frightened by the situation. Whereas I had lesser, you know, not emergency situations in hospital, but I just felt frightened the whole time because I didn't have that constant person that was, you know, reassuring me and guiding me through what was going to happen. You know, it's that knowledge of knowing, you know, being told this is what's going to happen, but you feel confident in the person that's taking care of you. It just makes such a huge difference.
I think it's important to put something into context because actually what happened with Lucy's birth is that we had a beautiful water birth. Alf was born into the water and it was absolutely gorgeous. And everything was lovely. And then Lucy was very naughty and decided to keep hold of her placenta. She didn't want to give it up. So, after trying for quite a while, we decided that actually it would be better, which obviously she needed to go. We needed to get the placenta out. We were unable to get it out at home. So you went in, didn't you? Had it out, had it taken out and then were home again. How soon after were you home again?
I was home that night. So we were 6 a.m.-ish and then home by 10 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can predict that kind of thing as a midwife, you know, sometimes you can predict whether something like that's going to happen. There was no indication, you know, with Lucy's birth at all. She's very healthy, not a smoker, not a drinker, those sorts of things. Hadn't had 100 pregnancies and all those sorts of things that sometimes you might think, okay, so, you know, you're at a higher risk of a retained placenta. There was no reason for us to believe that that would happen. But like with everything with pregnancy and birth, you know, it is so unpredictable. So, you know, we dealt with it, we fixed the problem, and you came home, and then hopefully you hold on. And I'm sure, I know you do. So hopefully, you know, you hold on to the birth experience, because that was what I'm interested to ask is, was because I know people will think about this, you know, when they've had either a traumatic or an upsetting, or just didn't go the way they wanted the first time. When it does go right, do you find it healing? Was it a healing experience?
Yeah, completely. And it's so, I think about it a lot now, because like, with Alf, and I obviously having to go into hospital, and I had to have a spinal block and have the placenta taken out in theatre. Like, that was my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, it was honestly something I was so terrified about. But I don't hold on to it at all the way I held on to Aoife's birth, because it's just the care. The care was so different. I don't have any of the same, like, upset that I didn't get it to go how I wanted it to go. Like, it was just, you know, it really did heal like a lot of the kind of things I was hanging on to with Aoife's birth as to why it didn't go how I wanted it, you know, how I'd have hoped it would have gone. And yeah, just the whole experience, like, you know, going into labour naturally was a big thing for me, because I didn't get to that point with Aoife really. And I didn't really believe that I could do that. Like, I just didn't think my body would do it. I just thought I'd go for 2 weeks overdue and that would be the same situation again. And that was really lovely to go into labor naturally, and that process happen. And you know, the labors were so different that I put to rest a lot of the blame I had on myself for Aoife's birth, for how I dealt with it, because they just were, you know, night and day in the how they, you know, the pain and the contractions were, you know, it was a different thing because I'd had an induction the first time. You know, I coped a lot better with Alf's birth, and it was just, it really helped me to let go of some of the guilt and things I held over Aoife's birth. So yeah, it was just amazing.
That's fabulous to hear. Now, I know a lot of the listeners can't actually see your face, but you've actually smiled, great big smile, talking all the way through that, which is just lovely to see. Absolutely. Thank you for that, Lucy. I just want to take on board what you were just saying there about induction, because induction can be, the idea of induction can be really scary for women, you know, still all the time. Women fear having an induction, or thinking about all the interventions that can come along. We talk a lot about the cascade of intervention that comes from, you know, that first intervention can lead on to the next, to the next, to the next. And today we have Kaylee with us, who has actually got two fabulous, very positive experiences, both with induction and hospital, you know, like in hospital. So I want to talk to you about that, Kaylee, so that you can sort of give your perspective on your lovely inductions, your both times. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how they came about, actually? Why did you have inductions?
Yeah, thanks, Sharon. So for me, I decided when I became pregnant that I wanted to go down the route of having private care. So I, like, you know, what Lucy was saying, I had one person looking after me throughout my whole pregnancy who was seeing me regularly, because during that time of COVID, you know, it was just so isolating and, I guess, challenging in that sense, you know, being pregnant and, you know, the anticipation of what's going to happen. So yeah, and then the reason why I ended up having an induction was because I was overdue. So at 11 days, we made the decision that I would be admitted and be induced. So I was happy with that because I kind of understood, you know, I guess the risks, what the options were. You know, I didn't feel that it was pushed upon me. It was just given to me as, this is an option if you want. So I guess the fear of being at home, and I live probably like a good 30 minutes with no traffic away from the hospital, could be an hour and a half in traffic. So I was brought in and it was all very planned, very relaxed. I did have to go in on my own. But I guess for me, because I have worked in a hospital, I'm kind of used to that setting. So, and I was used to working there during COVID with the reduced staff and, you know, all that kind of anxiety and stress. And another kind of layer of stress was a big cyber attack that had happened that
Oh
hit the
gosh.
hospitals. So instead of all my records being, you know, in the, you know, an online file, I was given a hard copy. So for me, the fact that I had my consultant looking after me, you know, and having that kind of, I guess, relationship with him, he knew me, I knew him, and I had my file, there was that trust and, I guess, reassurance. So I went in on my own with my pillow, my bags, up to Unit 3 in Hollis Street. And I'd heard horror stories about Unit 3, but actually it was very calm and relaxing. And I got the window seat at the end, so I had a view. So yeah, I set myself up and I had the gel, and then 4 hours later I had my waters broken. And just before that, you know, they came in with the pieces of equipment, and I heard someone else who was being induced in a lot of pain. So I remember at that point just being really scared and being like, oh my God, this is like, am I going to be able to manage this? And for me, the experience was a fine, you know, it was a little pinch when they obviously burst the waters, and then it was fine. So I didn't really have any kind of major pain for a couple of hours. I was able to eat. The food was lovely. At that point, my partner was allowed in. So they were very strict in terms of how long you were allowed in, but he did manage to stay in a little bit longer. But then kind of security came around kind of saying, okay, is everyone gone? Kind of giving you the hint. So I was kind of a little bit prepared that he would have to leave. So yeah, they broke my waters. And then a couple of hours later, I started to get contractions, probably around kind of 5 p.m.-ish. And they were very manageable. So I was, you know, I had my TENS machine. I remember they offered me paracetamol, and I was kind of like, well, no, it's fine. Like, you know, that's not going to really help or do anything. And then probably around, I'd say it was like maybe 7 o'clock, things started to ramp up in terms of the pain and the contractions. So I was offered Pethidine. And again, I had heard, you know, awful stories about Pethidine. And I had this gorgeous midwife called Emma who just sat down on my bed and said, look, your body's going to be able to just rest. You know, we don't know how long this is going to take. And, you know, she said, I'd give you an anti-sickness injection with it. So I said, okay. It was amazing. It just took over my whole body. I still remember the feeling. And I rang my mum, who was like, okay, you need to go sleep now because you're clearly off your head. So I was able to sleep for a couple of hours, because at that point my partner, he was gone, and woke up, I don't know, maybe 1 a.m. again, you know, the contractions were there. So I had my TENS machine, I had my music and all the little, I guess, my little pack of comforts to help me through. And I just really, I listened, you know, before I was pregnant, to lots of kind of other mums talking, and lots of, I guess, guidance and affirmations on how to kind of get through. And I, you know, using the analogy of a wave crashing, I just kept trying to focus on that kind of visual. And the TENS machine I found really, really good. So around then, God, I think it was maybe 6 or 7 a.m. And the midwives were great in checking in, and luckily my consultant was in during the night with another mum, and basically said, look, in the morning, if we don't see progress, we'll bring her down for oxytocin. So I kind of knew there was a plan and an end in sight. So I was just managing it hour to hour. And I was brought down in the morning, and it was 3 centimeters, and given gas and air, which was kind of helpful, I think. And then once I had the epidural, it was very relaxing. And at that point, then my partner was allowed back in. And so I was progressing throughout the day. I kind of knew there was a timeline in terms of how long they would leave me before that a decision will be made for a section. So, again, all very relaxing. My partner had tea and he was offered biscuits, and my midwife was really caring. And then around kind of say, I think it was like 5:15, things ramped up and it was time to push. So I was pushing for probably like 20 minutes to half an hour, and Theo was born then at 14 minutes to six.
That's pretty impressive, you know, with an epidural on board and first baby. That's pretty good going, that is. Well done.
So yeah, and he was born, he was 8 pounds 12, and I didn't tear. And that was one of the things that I guess from the outset, and all the negative, I guess, information out there, because, you know, you're on social media, like I had to unfollow a lot of accounts where it was very anti-induction. Yeah. And I understand that, and I know it's not always positive, but for me, you know, being a new mom and not knowing what to expect, you know, I just didn't want to listen to the negative stories. I just needed to focus on what I could control and what was going to help be helpful for me. And I think the fact that I didn't tear, you know, when that was one of the main things that everyone talks about, that, you know, was really surprising because I was fully expecting that to happen. So, yeah. And in terms of my recovery, the only negative aspect was I ended up with a trapped nerve in my leg. So when I was sent home, I actually couldn't walk for a couple of days very well. And once I got kind of good painkillers, that resolved, and then I was totally fine. But when I was pregnant with Noah, then, you know, a lot of people said to me, oh, you won't be able to have an epidural, or, you know, the same thing could happen again. And it was interesting hearing like the different medical opinions as to why that happened. Like, yeah, some people felt it was because I, you know, was in labor for so long, maybe with the way the baby was lying, because I was pushing for so long. So, you know, I'm not clear really as to why exactly it happened, and I guess I'll never know, but it didn't happen again. And the reason then with my second pregnancy why I was induced is because I had severe carpal tunnel, and throughout my whole pregnancy, and towards the end, it got so bad. I wasn't able to sleep. It was really bad at nighttime. So I was doing everything from physio to acupuncture. I had the TENS machine on it to try and relieve it. The only thing that helped was heat packs. I used to stick heat packs onto my wrists going to sleep, and then when the heat would wear off, I'd wake up in agony. So when I was wearing the splints, everything, and it just got to the point where I wasn't sleeping. So we made the decision, look, come in for an induction, and I was 39 weeks. So I was happy enough with that. And the second time around went so much easier again, yeah. You know, same process in. This time my partner was allowed in, got settled. I had the gel, and I decided then, you know what, I'm not sitting in here for hours. So we got up, we went out, we walked around Merrion Square. It was bumped into someone my partner knew, you know, so it was kind of lovely. And then when I came back, I started getting contractions very regularly, so decided to have a shower, which I think I overheated myself and poor little Noah, because the contractions stopped afterwards and my heart rate and baby's heart rate went up.
Yeah.
So I had no contractions then for hours. So I had another gorgeous midwife who was also called Emma, but a different lady who just said, you know what, get into bed and sleep. So I did that. And again, my consultant was in at about 1 a.m. and he had fully expected me to have the baby before midnight. So he just said, look, I'll bring you down in the morning if nothing's changed. So again, I knew there was an end in sight. There was a plan. And then the contractions started about kind of, I think it was 3 or 4 a.m. My lovely midwife, Emma, came into me about 6, and I said, I think I'm due to go to the labor ward. So she said, well, if you're requesting an early epidural, we'll ring over. And I was like, I didn't know that was a thing, but yes, I am. Whatever that is, I'm requesting. So we got down there and I had the epidural about, I think the anaesthetist came about like 20 past 7. My partner had gone home, so he came back in, and at about quarter to eight before the changeover of staff. They checked me and I was 1 centimeter, and I felt a lot of pressure. And the new midwives came on and they said, you know, at 8 o'clock, I had two midwives called Ashling, both of them. So they checked me at like a couple of minutes past eight and they were like, okay, you're 10 centimeters. So
oh, wow.
Three pushes and Noah was out and born at 5 past 8. So it happened really quickly in the end.
Yeah.
Again, no tears, all was fine. I was able to walk, there was no issues. And I went home the next day because I just felt like everything was going well. And he, again, like Theo was very jaundiced, so needed light therapy. So with Noah, we did have to bring him back into the hospital just to get checked. So he was fine, though. He didn't need any kind of intervention, just lots of fluids. So yeah, so it was overall, I guess, really positive. And even mums I was talking to yesterday, you know, were saying, God, you know, you only ever hear very kind of traumatic stories.
Yeah.
And you know, even in terms of induction, that we were talking about it, how actually, you know, it's important to hear the positive stories as
it's
well.
So important. Yeah, it's so important. And the thing I can also, you know, part of me can already feel and identify why this was so positive for you, because even at 39 weeks, you know, your first baby, your induction started at 11 days post 40. So you know, you can argue that, yeah, your body was ready to do it anyway, and there you go. But at 39 weeks, like, you may have been sort of like asking the body to do something it wasn't quite ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy for me to look at, but to think, because birth, you know, labor and birth is very hormonal, regardless mm-hmm. of what, you know, anybody thinks, it's a very hormonal thing. And we as human beings, we have this fight and flight, you know, we have this fight and flight thing within us that can make us, you know, if we're scared, we'll close down all those hormones, you know, we'll shut them down, we won't allow them to happen. And so then your body's fighting against something that you're fighting against internally. And that's why lots of inductions don't go smoothly, because most women can be very scared about the whole process. But you know, listening to you, we can tell straight away that it was something you got your head around early on. It was something you were happy to do. It's something that you trusted in. And you know, that could be argued that that's why it was so successful for you. And I think if anybody that's listening finds themselves in a position where they're going to think about induction, if they can get their heads around it and think, okay, you know, I'm okay with this, this is right for me, and take away those fears, then it can be successful for you too. Obviously, you've all had fantastic experiences, and I'm not to take away from those, please don't think that's what I'm doing, but I think obviously I am a private midwife and I do work for private midwives, and I think if anybody is interested or feels that they know somebody that would benefit from this sort of care, or you know, wants to have a look at the website, I know it's not for everybody, and I know unfortunately it is a private service and it's something you have to pay for. But if you can't get it in your NHS or HSE trust, you know, and you feel it's something that you or a family member could really do with, please do pop along to the website, have a look at privatemidwives.com and have a look at all the resources and everything. The lovely Maria and Kaylee both use the website, actually. They haven't used Private Midwives, but they found benefit from the things that they've seen on our, you know, Instagram and things like that. So it's important to know that private midwives are out there. You can get all sorts of resources and help on our websites, on our social media. So we are private_midwives with Instagram, and it's just private midwives, I think, with TikTok and Facebook. So thank you, ladies, so much today for joining me and sharing your amazing stories. I know that people are going to love to listen to them. I've loved it. I could talk to you for hours, all of you. It's just amazing. Thank you so much for coming and
Thanks
talking
so
to
much,
us today.
Sharon. Thank you.
You're welcome.